with it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.
Yo, 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 Ball Don't Lie. We are back. Episode 178, man. We are probably like, we've been like 9 days into the first round of playoffs. Couple series is starting to wrap up. Should be getting ready to start the second round by the end of this week. Early next week, man. It's your guys, Scott and Dante here. You know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at October's on tape. Follow the Barbershare Chat Network at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare network. Visit bcnet.com right now, man. And if you are in the Chicagoland area or in Chicago, pull up to the Barbershare Network NFL Draft Watch Party, which will be going on at Haymarket Pub and Brewery in the West Loop area of downtown Chicago. That is Thursday. It will be doors open at 5 p.m. It will be for the first night of the NFL Draft. It will be hosted by our man, J.R. Bain. And we have a DJ set by the homegirls, the label. You must RSVP to get in. RSVP right now at thebcnet.com. You will see the big-ass flyer on the front page. Just click on that flyer, and it'll take you right to the event, right, man? So come out. Have a good time. It don't matter who you know you're a fan of, what team you are. Have a good time and watch the NFL Draft with us, man, with everybody. I will be in Kansas City. You know, doing the NFL draft. Me and my brother Flo's holding it down for Barbershare 79th and House. This will be our second NFL draft in a row. Last year was in Vegas, and I wish it was in Vegas again. One, because my travel will be a lot shorter. And two, there'll be more things to do. But we'll be in Kansas City on Thursday. So we're looking forward to that. Yeah, man, but we here. A lot of not too much to go over today, but we got some things to talk about. Dante, how's it going out there in the A?
Oh, they are panicking, but you know, other than that, you know, everything is going well. You know, DeJounte bumping refs and shit. So, you know, we'll see how they go. Did they suspend him for that?
Yes, he is suspended. Yeah, they announced that a couple hours ago. He is suspended for game 5. Which if I was DeJounte, I wouldn't give a shit. They were losing that damn game anyway. At least you can get on your little flight early. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get ahead of it. But you can't bump
refs. Okay, now. You can't do that. Even as trash as refs are, you can't really do that. But no, other than that, I'm great, bro. Like I said, first round is starting to wrap up, come to a close. Like I've had this conversation with like 4 or 5 people, but like as much as people hate to say it, and I think, you know, as I get older, I really don't have as much animosity toward the Knicks as I used to. It was fun poking at them, but listening to the Garden during that Knicks game, it was like
Man, it's a different energy.
It was amazing. And it's not only that, it sucks to see D Rose be the human victory cigar, but it being D Rose in the Garden, gee, that shit was crazy.
I mean, I absolutely despise it. Like that,
yeah. You hate to see it, but at the same time, like it's just,
it's, you know, not one just of those with things. Knicks. I just hate it if it was on any team.
Yeah, of course, but at the same time, to see him get recognized in the Mecca, like, we want him on the court.
You, I have my opinions that on the Mecca thing, but that's a whole different conversation for another day.
I mean, that's more of a, you know, talent type shit, but like as far as like basketball lore, it's the Mecca, G. I've gone back and forth on this with a lot of shit. Player wise, no, it's not.
Like, we talk about the arena, fine, I'll give you that. New York City is not the Mecca of basketball. If we just talk about it in general, Chicago, nigga, LA, I mean, somebody, nigga.
If you talk, no. You got, I think we build more talent. We got more talent. Chicago, LA, all of it across the court. But no, as far as just the Mecca of basketball, like just the whole basketball lore, basketball, this the history of basketball, should you talk about the, you know, park basketball, is New York.
Like, I can't give it that. I love New York. I will give, like, and this is why, and this is just show the sure, what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogance of New Yorkers. If we going off talent, if you want to say Madison Square Garden is a Mecca, whatever, fine. I won't argue. I'd still disagree, but I won't argue it. If we come off talent, no. Who's the last superstar player to come from New York City?
No, you're right. I agree with that 100%. I'm not saying talent-wise at all. We just talk about basketball, lore. Like, prime example, when that Garden was rocking, G, Like I was on the edge of my seat, like I was there. Like it was cracking in there. And like, you appreciate that. You appreciate that as a basketball fan. Like I forgot who I was talking to. I was like, we probably ain't had that type of energy in the United Center since the D-Rose game winner. Like,
yes. Well, after we talk about the next series, I want to talk about what our top five loudest arenas are in the NBA. I will say this about the United Center. United Center gets loud as fuck. We just don't remember because it's been so goddamn long since the moment you just brought up. It gets loud. I mean,
it's the largest in the United Center. Unless one of the new arenas have beat it, it's the largest, it's the highest capacity arena in the league.
I think so. I think
like it was United Center and then Staples, seat wise. Yeah. It was UC then Staples.
And that's too, like, you know, Staples get loud too. Staples, like, yeah. It's, you know, man, like them two Laker games, man, like, or one Laker game. We got another one tonight. People forget how to get down to Staples because it's been a long ass time. Like, I know. It's Hollywood and things like that. You get your live celebrities. Somebody tweeted, who has more celebrities, Knicks games or Laker games? I think numbers-wise, it's even, but Laker games have bigger celebs. Like,
yeah, bigger stars.
And Knicks games be New Yorkers who are famous. So, like, you'll see
Pete Davidson and shit.
Pete Davidson, you know, Ben Stiller, you know, Tracy Morgan. Of course, you don't see Spike. You know what I'm saying? You know, you'll see all those type of guys. But, and let's look at this past game for the Lakers. Nigga, Leonardo DiCaprio was there. Lucky, yeah. Leo don't come out the house, and this nigga's going to Delilah to pick up some bitches who 20. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't ever see that nigga Lucky Leo out there. This nigga was at the Laker game. You know what I'm saying? So Lakers bring bigger celebrities. Denzel's at every damn game. But that, and you know, we was in a group chat this week. I think me, you, and Mikey, we had like a come to Jesus moment about Chicago sports. And just watching Knicks fans. I know a lot of people like to clown Knicks fans. You know, oh, they're doing too much. You know what I've noticed is getting older as a sports fan? You got to appreciate moments like this. Only one team's going to win a championship. Yeah, we know the Knicks ain't going to win a championship.
It could be gone.
You know what I'm saying? Giannis is back. I don't think them niggas going to win the next round with this nigga back because they're going to beat Miami now. But you take advantage of these moments. You know, you get excited. That's what sports is supposed to be about. You're supposed to have fun. If everything is just championship or bust, I don't feel like you appreciate anything. I literally just changed my mind on this like a year ago. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel about that. But it was definitely cool to see the New Yorkers, just how they react to everything. Like, they're in the streets. And I was just like, man, when the last time as Chicago sports fans we've had that much fun? I think Mikey said it was 2018 Bears. That's probably the last thing. And I sent you the meme this morning, when the last time all the Chicago sports teams been out the second round. The Cubs ain't been out the second round since 2017. Blackhawks ain't been out the second round since 2015. White Sox ain't been out the second round since 2005. Don't get us started on that. The Bulls ain't been out the first round since 2015. And it's crazy because we've got crazy-ass loyal fans, too, and we don't have that shit, too. So it's kind of cool to see Knicks fans do that. And it's just the summer arenas just have special feelings, too. You know what I'm saying? And you really saw the Garden on display this weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely, bro. Shout out to my boy Tibbs, man. That's one thing we really got to get into with them. You know, not only being a 3-1, but one thing, you know, you touched on this. We talked about this in the chat and, you know, on Twitter. Tibbs has started to actually make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of scary because he's always been, you know, he's always been crazy, you know, as a defensive mind. But now that he can make adjustments and him, like, actually going to, you know, and benching Julius Randle, Obi Toppin has played well the last couple games. Like, just like you said, just making different adjustments that have led, you know, to Knicks victories. And, you know, a lot of times old Tibbs, he would have rolled with Julius Randle. He would be like, no, you're my guy. You're going to be out here on the court. But Tibbs like, all right, you fucking up. All right, go sit down. Have a seat. You're just not going to play.
Took him a long time. He's been a head coach for about a decade now, but he got there. And just even looking at the early season, for one reason the Knicks got to where they are right now, and we talked about this just a couple minutes ago about, you know, we don't like D-Rose being a bench guy, but him moving D-Rose to the bench, a guy who he had, you know, he got a lot of love for D-Rose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, him and D-Rose relationship is special. In fact, D-Rose actually said that, you know, Tibbs saved him. Remember those times when people thought Derek was going to be out of the league, and he called Derek to come to Minnesota? So we know they got a great relationship. So for him to be able to sit down, and also I gotta give Derek credit on this too. And because remember the Knicks came to Derek after around the buyout time. It's like, yo, if you want to get bought out, we'll take care of you. He said, nah, I'm chilling. To me, that just shows the veteran poise of Derek. And I forgot who tweeted. I think it was my man Chops. Shout out my man Pete Chops. hold your head. I know the Cavs getting their ass whooped, but that's my guy. And Chops was like, he went to a game. He was in game one or something like that. And he was like, man, I saw, you know, Derrick Rose like pretty much coaching up the young guys. He said that was pretty cool to see. He's like, he's basically like an assistant coach over there. So that just shows like the original adjustment for Tibbs to be able to sit one of his guys for get the younger guys playing time. That's when they really started to go on that run in the middle of the season.
Yeah, bro. And I think I really think, you know, the Knicks can make some noise. I'm not gonna say they're gonna win it all because I don't believe that they can. But again, it's one of those things where, like we've always said for years and years now, like the Knicks being good is good for basketball. Like,
I agree.
Basketball is better when the Garden is rocking like this, you know. So seeing them play like this, and like you said, as much as we want to see D-Rose out there, the Knicks are better off with, you know, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart out there. Like, yeah. Giving those minutes to D-Rose on some loyalty shit would not have played well for Tibbs this season. And, you know, he decided not to do that. He's based his rotations based off who's playing the best. And that's, you know, benefited the Knicks. And then in this series, they're really, 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 really running through Cleveland. And, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell looks crazy right now. Like, Donovan crazy. Mitchell,
the whole team
looks crazy. But no, he looks crazy in particular because you're the guy. They traded for you for this moment, and this is what you gave me.
Was it like 18 or some shit like that?
He had 3 points in the second half. He played terrible.
Yeah. Outside of game one, and even in game one, he shot like 12 fucking threes. We were talking about that last week. He's not been good. He's not been good whatsoever. And the guy who the Knicks, you know, decided, you know, we're not going to trade for Donovan. We're going to go all in on Jalen Brunson. He's been the guy that's been breaking out, man. And I think just in this series, and I picked the Knicks in six originally. I think I said on this podcast a couple months ago, I was like, this is the best Knicks team in 30 years. And, you know, you and Pav disagree with me, which I understand. But I'm still standing on it. the best way in a minute. But this team, they're a complete team, which is different from the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers play a lot of go-to-hell ball, and you're seeing right now what happens when go-to-hell ball, when them shots ain't going in. They get absolutely whooped in game three. Just absolutely whooping game four. Game four, even though, you know, the Darius Garland led a great charge, and they even took the lead for a little bit in late in the third, early in the fourth, they were able to bounce back. And I feel like this is a team that believes. This is a team where, and I do believe that Milwaukee will win the rest of the series. And I even said that I don't think Giannis was really hurt like that. I feel like they just felt like we can beat these niggas without him. You know, and I feel like now that they're like, okay, we're down 2-1. We probably need to stop playing with our food. I think they're going to win that series. And I don't think that they're going to beat the Bucks, but I believe they can make it a series. I believe this can be a six-game series just because of how they play. And they have the biggest thing they had compared to 2 years ago when they played the Hawks. They have a go-to guy. So even if you have the Jalen, I mean, even if you have the Julius Randle's fucking up, which he has not had a good postseason, Jalen Brunson going to do his thing. You know, you got guys out there, Obi Toppin doing his thing. Mitchell Robinson had a great game. It's been a complete effort by the Knicks. They're doing it on the defensive end. They're doing it on offensively. And it's not a thing where they're just a great home team. Out of the three wins, they got one on the road. Now, I do think Cleveland's going to bounce back tomorrow, win game five. This one's over in game six. They're not getting out of the Garden alive with a chance to, you know, win a series. I think this first time they'll be at the first round since, what, 2013?
Yeah, I take a step further. I think it's over in game five.
Okay,
I think the Knicks are gonna take care of business and get in and big up to Josh Hart, man. I've liked Josh Hart a lot since he played for the Lakers. He's a really good player, really good two-way guy, and you see the energy he brings to that team. And you know, he's pretty much, you know, he said taking D Rose's place as that spark off the bench for the Knicks, and he's been, you know, tremendous. And so you heard him. He's a true Tibbs guy. You heard him when he was mic'd up. He said, I can play 48 if you need me to.
And Tibbs, that Tibbs,
that. Tibbs is the wrong nigga to say that to.
That's music Tibbs is.
Yeah. But no, it's a good thing. And like you said, I think they take care of business in five.
And I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever with that. I still think we're due for one big Donovan Mitchell game, and I think that will be game five. I just don't think they can carry that show on the road. And one thing I do like about, you know, just that we keep talking about the atmosphere in Madison Square Garden, but one thing that stood out to me is what I love, is that at Knicks playoff games, you see all of the Knicks alumni, you know, old, you know, young. Like, you got guys like some of the old OGs, like, you know, the Bernard Kings there. You got the Latrell Sprewells there. We know Allen Houston works in the front office. You know, you see John Starks there. You see my man Grandmama, Larry Johnson, is there. And just to be able to see, like, all those guys coming back, I think it's dope shit that you don't see with every organization. I even thought, even something where, you know, I saw, like, I think Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, they got, like, that little podcast or whatever on Showtime. And, you know, Paul Pierce was telling KG, like, man, you can start coming to more Celtic games. Like, you know, I really think the newer generation likes when the older guys come see them hoop. You know, you see that with Laker games. Like, yo, you know, Kareem don't come out the house all the time, but you'll see Kareem there. You know, even right before Kobe died, Kobe started coming to a couple games, you know, with him and Gigi. James Worthy does the post game. You know, you got Derek Fisher there. You got, you know, Pau Gasol's been there. And then I'm going to go back to the Bulls. You don't ever see Bulls alumni there.
No, and that's great for the league.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you said, it's dope seeing, like you said, seeing Spree and John Starks and everybody courtside, everybody still. That's why everybody was so, you know, disappointed when Charles Oakley got put out the Garden. Like, that's Charles fucking Oakley.
And
like,
Charles Oakley started coming to Bulls games.
Yeah. And they fucked that up.
Because the play-in game, this nigga there with the fucking Raptors jersey on. Nigga was there for a year.
Yeah, insanity. But no, that shit is great for the league, G. Yeah. And so, you know, and I think as a player, that's going to attract more superstars to the Knicks. And like with this run, especially the way Julius Randle playing, because even though they gave him his bread.
They finna get rid of son. I'm not going to lie.
Julius Randle for Damian Lillard. You feel me? Like, well, get him out of here.
Actually, I'm going to put this birdie out here. So when y'all come in a couple months, streets are telling me, and just let me know, and Dante knows, I have very, 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 very valid sources on this.
Trust me, my guy.
Very, very valid sources on this. I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm just going to say this. Do not be surprised when August rolls around that if Mr. Damian Lillard and Mr. Draymond Green are city partners, city roommates in New York City, playing for the Brooklyn Nets. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I'm saying. As you think it was a coincidence this nigga was there this past week? This past weekend, the Nets game? All I'm saying. And my source has been texting me like the Riddler for 2 weeks and trying to put two and two together. Not 100% telling me that. I remember I was in the Clippers media room getting ready for game three, and I saw I was like, I text my source. I was like, you think you slick. I understand now. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's going to happen. You never know a Dame. But don't be shocked if when August rolls around, Damian Lillard and Draymond Green are Brooklyn Nets. But to go back to the Knicks, like you said, I think that's good for the league. I think that's good for the franchise because it shows that, you know what I'm saying, that they have this, you know, this you know, nice long list of players. And like only players you see now for the Bulls, like Joe Kim come. You know, we seen Boozer and Luol Deng, a couple of these other guys. Like, Scotty used to come all the damn time, but then, you know, Scotty probably wanted more attention. Yeah. Scotty wanted more attention. You would see Horace there. Like, you don't see Ron Harper just come chill, nigga. Now, we know why Mike don't come. Mike owns a team.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Last time we saw Mike, remember in 2011 when the Bulls were, like, number one seed and Mike actually came to a game and it was him and Scotty kicking it courtside? But, like, you don't see things like that. I remember from – and that's one thing I'll give the Bears this credit. The Bears have great relationships with all their former players. Like, when I was there for week one, they have alumni week every week for the Bears. When I was there week one, I ran into – so I was in the elevator with Otis Wilson, and I was like – it was honoring me. I was like, man, you was my mother's favorite player back in the day. Like, Otis Wilson. I get out the elevator. There's motherfucking Peanut Tillman, which y'all know I don't fucking Peanut. But Peanut Tillman was right there. Spice Adams is right there. Not Nathan, but Jerry Zuma was there. You got Bernard Berry was there. You got, you know, Mike Singletary comes games. Like, you'll see people from every Bears era there. And that's just something I think the Bulls might be the only team in the city. Even the White Sox got old players that come. You know, the Cubs do. The Bears,
yeah, Bulls, no, if you don't work for the Bulls, you ain't going to be there. That's because, like, Was there, he was an ambassador. When Scotty was there, he was an ambassador.
And that's why Joe can be there, because he's the ambassador.
Yeah, yeah. Get your token Negro in there. Jerry Krause think he's slick. Jerry Krause think he's slick. He think he pulling the fast ones on us. I see the play, nigga. Like, it's just like Major League Baseball. I can't say that. But you ain't slick, bro. You ain't slick.
I'll leave it at that. Mr. Reinsdorf, you're not slick at all. But let's move on. Let's actually talk about, let's stay with the atmosphere thing. What are your top five loudest arenas in the NBA? I got my five if you need more time to think.
I don't really need time to think about it. My five are easily number one. Number one is really Sacramento.
Yeah,
from what we've seen so far, number one is Sacramento. The Garden is two. I will go Staples three. Just like I said, the first full capacity playoff game in so many years. You saw the crowd. You saw the energy. That was three. A quiet four, which might surprise some people. But I've been there. I haven't been to the new stadium, but I've been to the old stadium, and I know how loud they get, and I've seen how loud they get on TV. Number four, Milwaukee. And I say that because Milwaukee has one of those tiny-ass stadiums where it's like a boutique style, where the seats are right on top of each other. Okay. So when that bitch gets loud, it gets loud. So it's
kind of like the United Center?
No. Once you start going to more NBA arenas, you'll realize it. The United Center is huge. Staples Center is huge compared to most NBA arenas. Yeah. Them shits are big as fuck. And they built big as hell. Like low key, Indiana, this ain't my top. They ain't five. Indiana, low key, theirs is the same way. It's like the seats on top of each
other. So it's like more, it's smaller. It's more compact.
Yeah,
it's
smaller.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And five, believe it or not, five, I would go Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
But because it's so small, and like when it's really rocking, because like this has been rare, but I've been there on some occasions on some playoff games where that joint is really smacking and it's loud as hell in there, you can't hear nothing. And because of the way it's built, I put them in five. No, I won't. Boston,
okay. I was like, you leaving Boston now. Now, granted, I've only been to three NBA arenas, I've been to way more. I've been to like nine NFL stadiums now. And by the end of the season, I'll probably be in like stadium 13, 14. But I've only been to three NBA arenas. I've been to United Center, obviously. I've been to Staples Center so many damn times, I could tell you how to get in every fucking entrance. And then I've been to the Palace, nigga, before they moved back to downtown Detroit. I was in the Palace back when I was a fucking Piston. So I'm just really going off. I'm just going off outside of this one. I've only been to one stadium on the name of the stadium about the list. Number one, Sacramento. Number two, the Garden. Three, I'm going to say Staples Center. And this is how I know that niggas was thirsty on Saturday, bro, because usually Laker fans are very late. LA sports fans are late, period. And it's not because they're late. It's because this traffic is ridiculous. That motherfucker was packed. From tip off, when I was leaving for the Clipper game, that was a line, from Lakers fans trying to get in outside in LA Live. And by the way, shout out to all the people who work at Staples Center. I know it's crypto, but I'm calling this shit Staples Weather. If all the shit these niggas did to get the games moved was incredible, because literally, as I was leaving the motherfucking KD press conference, they were making Lakers shit in the hallway. Like, they made us go through the exit because I guess Bron was coming. It was like fucking Biden was coming and shit. So they made us go to the other side of the fucking hallway. But they got all that shit cleaned up. Move the king. Shit like that.
No, some rich nigga shit. And back in the old Georgia Dome, there was only, not to cut you off, there was only one elevator to go downstairs. Yeah, and so we had to go downstairs in the third quarter because at some point, they were going to lock that elevator so only Arthur Blank could use that motherfucker.
Like, that's some rich nigga shit.
Hey, we own the building, boy. It's like, no.
that's some rich
shut it down.
Shut
it down.
And Loki, and I was like, man, like this is how they just changed everything. And by the time we walked past the court, they already had the Lakers shit on there. So shout out to them. But I would say Staples at three. These next two, man, I'm going to say Boston is in there. And, but honestly, of course, this next number five is not as loud as they old stated. But, nigga, it get loud up at Chase Center. It get loud up at Chase.
Oracle, that's the loudest stadium
I've ever been. Oracle is like another level of loud. But
the shit had a concrete roof, bro. So, I mean, yeah. That's why.
I always judge it by like how loud it sounds on my soundboard when I'm watching the games. But I feel like I'm there. And I felt like I was in San Francisco last night watching that Warrior game, man. But I'm going to say the Bulls are like number six to me because people forget it gets very loud in United Center. It's just been very long, and we have not had a reason as fans to get that loud. But those old stadiums built in the 90s and before that, them motherfuckers get loud. So United Center is probably my sixth man, but that's why I'm
going to go with stadium.
Yeah, they're not going to get rid of it, but they need to. We going off out of all the places I've been, stadiums, any sports, United Center is the worst. Like, I used to put this in a group chat. You know, I know the Bulls are dumb. They invested on a big-ass Titantron screen, but didn't invest in cup holders.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Niggas don't have cup holders. Like, if you go to the first floor, it looked like 1996 up there. Like,
yeah, it's terrible. And you know what they did? They said, fuck it. We're going to put a building around the Michael Jordan statue.
Yep.
We're not gonna renovate the inside of this bitch where it's terrible.
Like, they built a little the concourse. I get like this. The first and the second floor do not look bad. They clean that shit up. But if you're in 300 section, nigga, you don't see Michael Jordan's old 1996 Hanes ad. You're going to see Rodzilla advertisements. It look like nothing. Like, even if you look for concerts, some of them lights don't be fully on in them little sky boxes, bro. Like, it is very ghetto up in there.
Let's stop talking about them losers.
Yeah, Dante is very fed up with Chicago sports.
Let me say this. Any team owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm not fucking with them right now. Like, I'm not spending my money, not spending my time. I'll check the box score. I'm not watching that shit.
Well, I can proudly say I have not paid for a Chicago White Sox game in 3 years. Every White Sox game I've been to, somebody's given me a ticket. I can proudly say that. So, but let's move on, man, to some news we just got today. Unfortunate news. More injuries on more injuries. Sacramento Kings point guard De'Aaron Fox will be listed as doubtful for game five. I'm looking for the actual tree right here. Yeah, listed doubtful as game five because of the injury he sustained in game four. It is a fractured index finger in his left shooting hand. You never wanted to be in your shooting hand. Now, we got from Woes. Woes says that there's still hope he will try and play game five, but Fox will need to play with a protective covering on the finger, which is something Kobe did before. But that is a big blow, especially coming off a game where it really shouldn't have been that close. Steph actually tweaked towards the end. Now, shout out to Draymond for being a great teammate and going on his podcast and say that wasn't Steph's fault, that was mine, because of some basketball lingo they used or why they didn't. Also, Steve Kerr took blame for it, so I didn't tell him that we lost the timeout, whatever. But that should have been a game where they won by like eight. But Steph called a timeout where they didn't have any more timeouts. It was a technical foul. They got the shot and possession, which led to a three-pointer by De'Aaron Fox. Now, I said this. Now, I picked Warriors in six. I thought this series was going to seven as of 12 hours ago. I thought it was going to be a seven-game series. But now, knowing that with De'Aaron's injury, whether he plays or not, I think this is over in six. How you feel about, you know, just De'Aaron's injury and how this affects
him? It sucks, bro. It's really been a lot of, like, you know, I don't want to say fluke injuries because injuries happen, so they're not necessarily fluke, but it's been a lot of unfortunate injuries, and the timing of it all is really bad because, you know, we saw the energy inside at Sacramento, and going back, they will be just as live, but not having De'Aaron or having De'Aaron, not at 100%.
Like 60%.
It's definitely going to affect things, so, you know, that's extremely unfortunate. I hate to see it, but I think overall, if you are, you know, the young team that you think you are, you got to battle through it. You got to see what this team is really made of. Now, obviously, they're going to get the champs, and I think this is exactly what the champs needed to get right back on their feet. And I think they, although it will be, you know, a scuffle, they'll win this in a tidy six games. But it was just the worst timing for Sacramento. Yeah.
I mean, I just feel it's like they have all these injuries. And then we talked about load management on the show countless times. But The thing for me is, like, you got all these players, and I'm not blaming the players here, by the way, because I know people don't have comprehension skills. Not blaming the players. I'm just saying it's fucked up. They sit all this time in the regular season, and in the playoffs coming, these niggas getting hurt anyway. We saw with Ja Morant, he got hurt. Now, he played this Saturday, and he was the only nigga on the team who actually played well. Giannis just came back today. The fucking Kawhi Leonard just hit like a bomb, nigga. Nobody expected that shit. That completely changed the series. And I will say, from being in games three and game four, there's not a doubt in my mind the Clippers win both of those games if Kawhi Leonard plays with the way Paul – or not playing, what Ray Russell Westbrook was playing. And I still think there's some holes in Phoenix. But that's an unfortunate thing.
Blow it up.
You know, and we're going to get to that later in the show, what they need to do. But this is a terrible thing for the Kings. It's god awful timing. I have sympathy for them because I know how it feels to have a window and your star point guard gets hurt. Now, granted, this isn't extreme as what happened to Derrick Rose, but I know that emptiness that you feel, especially if you're an up and coming team and you feel like we're this close to knocking the champs out. And I think this series is a win for the Kings either way. If the Kings lose the series, I still think next year this is a team. If De'Aaron keeps going to the level that he's going, this is going to be a contender in the West for the next couple of years because they Absolutely. Have a complete team. They have a complete team. You're seeing the young guys step up. Mike Brown is doing an amazing job. But even with De'Aaron, if De'Aaron didn't get hurt, I felt like this team gave a golden opportunity on Thursday to go up 3-0. And when you have a chance to knock the bully out, to knock the champ out, you got to do it. And they gave him room. And I felt like with and without De'Aaron 100%, this is going to be something where I feel like the Warriors are back in the driver's seat because this is just who they are. They've been in every situation. And this is why when people are like, well, they've never been 0-2 in a Steph Curry era. It don't fucking matter. They were down 3-1 in Steph Curry era. Remember against OKC. They've been in situations like this before where they know how to adapt. And even in game four, you saw some of the young stupid shit creep on in for the Kings, and I think that's going to be a problem. And De'Aaron, with the way he plays, he's going to need his finger, and I really think that's going to be a brutal blow. And not only do I think the Warriors are going to win game five, I think they're going to win game five by double digits.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blowout both games. I think five and six, they're going to get them right out the paint real quick. It's been a nice run. Hopefully, you know, they learn from it, build from it, they'll come back. But not having De'Aaron at 100% is going to be detrimental, and I think at the end of the day, that's really going to cost them.
Yeah, it's a brutal, brutal thing right there, man. But if you're Adam Silver, of course he doesn't want his players hurt, but that nigga's definitely doing the Birdman hand rub knowing we are two wins away. Well, three, we are about total, what's called in total, about four wins away from Steph versus LeBron volume five. So I don't think he's very disappointed about that either. But by the way, we're not going to talk about Lakers, Grizzlies today, because by the time he listens to this, what we said probably is not going to matter because game four is kicking off in a couple hours. So we're going to save that for next week. But let's talk about a team that's already advanced, the Philadelphia 76ers. They have completed a sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. They will be in the first round, and they will be playing the winner of Boston, Atlanta, which we all know will be Boston. And that series will be kicking off this weekend. Now, the more injury news, Joel Embiid got injured in game three. He had it was a tear. I don't know if it was a tear. He had a knee strain.
Knee strain.
Same thing they said Kawhi had, knee strain. But the worst thing, at first they said it was only going to be day-to-day and he should be ready to return by early this week. But then on Saturday, right before game four, Doc Rivers talked to the Philadelphia media and he said that it doesn't look good. They did the MRI and it was swelling come back. And he says that he doesn't know when he's going to return. It's a 50% chance if he's ready or not for game one of the second round, which they're 100% going to need that nigga against Boston. This is brutal. I feel like Embiid gets hurt every fucking year. And especially with the way he's been playing, he's probably going to be MVP. This, if you're Boston, you like, man, we just got to wrap this shit up. We got a first class ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals again.
This is what happens when your 7-foot, 300-pound center plays like a guard. Like he on the ground more than AI, my nigga. Like yeah. Every time you look up, Embiid is on the ground, rolling over, falling, sliding, fading away, hitting the back post. You know, it's always something that's going to just take a toll. It would take a toll on any player. We've seen the toll it takes on guards. And then, you know, I was joking, but just think about it. Imagine how much that really, you know, affects a center. So, you know, we've seen the results of that. And he, like you say, he has been playing amazing this year. And it's just unfortunate that right now in this moment, he has a type of injury like this where if we know even if he comes back, well, even when he comes back, he'll still probably perform, but we don't know if we'll get that MB. One thing we do know is we'll get the effort. We do know if there's anybody that can do it, Embiid gives me. I feel like Embiid is one of those guys that I feel like if I need him to give me like a career night injury, he can still go do it. He has that type of motor. So it's unfortunate, but yeah, man, I think if you Philly, you need as much time as you can. Are you hoping all these series go seven? Like even like you said, you know Atlanta. Yeah. Yeah, they on the rope, so it's not looking good. But you praying for a miracle because you need some time.
Yeah, at the bare minimum, if this series starts on Saturday or Sunday, it'll at least be a week off with Joel Embiid. So hopefully that helps. I know that's basically what happened with Ja Morant. Now, of course, Ja Morant wasn't a knee. His was just a wrist, and he didn't pull or strain or tear anything. And he was back in a week. This is a brutal blow. And if you're just the Sixers in general, you know, you finally have an opportunity where you feel like maybe we can beat Boston as well as this team has been playing. But without Joel, you got no fucking shot. You know, you already got to go on the road to do that. And with as great defense as Boston plays, you need that to happen. It's just complete time. And I think that if he doesn't play, they're going to be out of there very quickly.
So, bro, if he don't play, it's a wrap. Curtain.
It's a wrap. And I'm disappointed as an NBA fan. I think we should all be disappointed NBA fans because all these potential great series keep getting ruined by fucking untimely injuries. Like, I was circling. I even had it on, I'm not going to hold you, last week. Collision course for Sixers, Celtics. And now it's like, throw that shit on NBA TV if that nigga's not playing. And it's just real unfortunate for the league, man. But let's go to the Los Angeles Clippers, the team that I cover. They are down 3-1. Game 5 will be by the time you listen to this tonight in Phoenix, Arizona. Kevin Durant has been great this weekend. By the way, that motherfucker is tall as shit. That was the first time being around KD, and that is a tall nigga. But I think the story for him, story for that team is Devin Booker. That motherfucker has been hooping. He came out dressed like Baby Joker before game 3 and game 4. Was hooping, and I feel like the attention that KD creates from the defense just gives Book some of the best shots he's got in his entire life. But for the Clippers, man, this is an unfortunate thing for the Clippers. We've been talking about injuries all damn show. Clippers were up 1-1, had a chance to go up 2-0. I mean, not up 1-1, but it was tied 1-1, had a chance to go 2-0. And for me watching these two games, I know if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. But I'm very sure that the Clippers, at the bare minimum, is a 2-2 series if Kawhi Leonard plays those games just from the way they were going. The bench did good. The team did it good as far as well. Russell Westbrook had two great games at Staples Center. Norman Powell did good. T-Man did good. Like, as an overall effort, I think the Clippers did as much they could without their talent. But now the Clippers are in another predicament because once again, in year 4 of this Kawhi, Paul George era, these niggas is hurting it. And I know you said blow it up not too long ago. Do you really think that's what they should do?
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's over with. And even with your comments about Russell Westbrook, the thing with Russ plays well when he's the guy. Or, like, you know, with both of those guys out, he was able to, you know, do more of his thing.
He played well as a Clipper in general.
That's fact. I will give you that. But, blow it up. It's not worth it, I think, at this point. I know it would be – it's tough and Ballmer. He's not going to do that because you can't blow it up before you – you can't blow it up. Yeah, but you can't blow it up before you get the Inglewood. That just can't happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they unfortunately have to run it back and pray they stay healthy. They in the Chicago White Sox top situation, except they actually got superstars. They got players that if those players are healthy, they can be elite. But it's just a matter of waiting to see if they're healthy.
Honestly, I can't even call them that because the Clippers at least went to the West Conference Finals in this run.
Yeah.
And at least people forget they went to the West Coast Finals 2 years ago. But I'm with you. Like, they probably have to blow it up, but they're not going to because for a couple reasons. Main reason being, NBA is a business. Steve Ballmer is a businessman. Mr. Ballmer, cool as fuck. Every time I see Mr. Ballmer, he say what up to me. I'm cool with him. This nigga, when I tell you, at the end of every game, when they lose, he be looking at that fucking box score, mad as hell. After game 4, we were waiting to go into the press conference room. This nigga looking at that sheet, wondering what the fuck happened. So, you know, as a businessman, they're not going to get either rid of any one of them people. So you need butts in the seats. Yeah. And you're not going to sell tickets, no disrespect, with Norman Powell being the guy you're advertising. So by just off that, they're not. I do think they're going to run it back. Not only do I think they're going to run it back, I think they bring Russell Westbrook back. That's another thing I think is going to happen. I think they're going to pay Russ to come back. And like you said, they just won't have to help. Hope that they're healthy. That's been the number one issue with this team. When they're actually healthy, they're very, very good. And I feel like a team that can win a championship, but we in the 4 years we've seen it, it has just not happened. And you got to feel bad for a guy. And I mean, you feel bad for both of them, but Kawhi too, because, you know, I know we make jokes on Twitter and shit like that. And this is how I know I've been old, because a lot of slander don't even like make me laugh. It just annoys me now. But
yeah.
Niggas act like Kawhi trying to get hurt on purpose. And, like, I love Stephen A, but when AD got – remember we thought AD was hurt in game two?
Yeah.
He started going off. That's why you can't count. Like, dude, these dudes are not trying to get hurt. Some people just have – everybody body acts differently. So,
yeah.
And especially the news, you know, with Kawhi's sister coming out this weekend, which was wild. We don't know what shit did Kawhi be dealing with, man. So, I just feel like it's crazy. When people, you know, say stuff outside of basketball when it comes to these dudes, but like, I don't know. They're in a fucked up position where they just gotta hope that this works out and hope that these niggas stay healthy. There's really nothing else they can do. And also, I feel like if you trade them, what you getting for either one of them?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because now teams are gonna lowball you.
Yeah, they know they know damage.
You selling me damaged goods? You telling me? You trying to sell off two lemons, nigga? You crazy?
Yeah. So that's the tough situation. There, and I think even with Kawhi and Paul George, they're gonna have a hard time selling that arena out, because the Clippers ain't got a big fan base in general. And you trying to get niggas come out to Inglewood, that's gonna be tough in general. I even think their cross street neighbors so far gonna have a hell of a time trying to get asses in the seats this year.
Boy,
the Rams suck, and you know who I'm trying to sell Clippers. I mean,
if there's anybody listening who would like Los Angeles Charger tickets, holler at your boy.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough sell, man. But
I say it might cost you a little, might cost you a lot.
It's gonna come call. Come call, and we'll see how much it costs you. But overall, for the Suns, on the Suns tip, I did have them what's it called, coming out the West. I don't believe that anymore. Shout out my man, I'm not gonna say his name for job reasons, but I saw him at the Clippers game. He's like, these motherfuckers y'all used to talk about coming out the West. I was like, you're right. I have to change my opinion now. I do think that it's gonna be different if, you know, when they play Denver. But I just feel like the depth issues is really showing, and they're playing way too many minutes. Monty Williams told us this on Saturday, and he was just like, "Yeah, I am concerned about it a little bit, because they just don't have the depth right now. They're pretty much Miami Heat in year one, where you got all these guys who, you know, they're not playing the roles because this trade happened in the middle of the season. So I feel like as of right now, I don't think they have enough, and KD and DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker and Chris Paul have to do too much. So I'm not as impressed with them as I was coming into the series.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I love KD, and I think, you know, like I said, KD's borderline unstoppable. You can say, again, at the end of the day, those depth issues do usually show their head in the playoffs. And my whole thing is, with every, like, team we've seen with, I can't call them really a big three, because CP3 is falling off. Ayton, I don't know what the fuck he be doing.
It's a big two and two other niggas.
Yeah, it's too impossible. Yeah. You know, on some space shit, it's too impossible. That's just not going to be enough to get it done. I think going down to what they really need to do, getting toward the finals, as much as we, you know, thought out the gate, yeah, this is going to be the squad, you've seen it, like you said. Now, time can change things. We will see. You know, they could get to the next round and they catch a break that helps them, you know, lead. Well, shit, they caught one already, but, you know, they could catch another one. It's, you know, that's usually how it goes when teams win a championship. A lot of things break their way outside of just playing well on the basketball court. So we'll see. But, you know, like you said, it is. It's going to be an interesting finish.
It's going to be an interesting finish. And by the way, the official word just came out. Kawhi Leonard is out for game five. And, of course, Paul George is out. So, today is going to be the last Clipper game. So, yeah. I knew. I was like, well, I won't be walking in here again until Halloween. But we're going to wrap this episode up with non-playoff news. Former Boston Celtic coach Ime Udoka has been hired as agreed to a contract with the Houston Rockets to be the new head coach. This is something that, you know, from a basketball perspective, I think will help that young team out tremendously. I think a guy, Ime, who relates to his players very well, a guy, Ime, who has success in his first year as a head coach leading his team to the NBA Finals, I think from a basketball perspective, it's amazing. Now, Ime Udoka's freak boy ass being a Houston Texas is a different discussion, especially with rumors that James Harden might be joining him. Every stripper is going to be getting their rent pay. Every bottle girl in Houston, Texas is rejoicing at this news. What do you think about Ime going to Houston?
I think Matt Barnes, you lied to me. Matt Barnes, you lied to me. You
told me Matt Barnes did gas that shit up.
You told me this, man. If it was what I heard it was, he will never coach again. Stop it, man.
First of all, he's being a chatty patty. It's Dame Dash, I should say.
Yeah, but on the business side, I think it's good for Houston. I think it's good for that team, whether you do bring back James and get rid of some of the young guys to bring James back in there, which, like you said, they probably will do. But I think it's good for Houston because even if you don't bring in Harden, you have a coach who has a proven track record of working with players and, you know, getting the best out of their young talent. Because right now, they're down there on some AAU shit in Houston. So, yeah. You need somebody who's going to, you know, set a tone, set a precedent, really help build that team up. So I think from a business standpoint, it's a definitely great move.
Definitely, man. I definitely like it for the Houston Rockets. They definitely need a guy like Ime to come in and, you know, and change the culture pretty much, which I hate using that word, but it's true. You need to come in there and change the culture. And I feel like from a basketball perspective, that would be working out tremendously for them, man. But, that's all we got for y'all this week. We'll be back next week. I do not know if I will be doing, I'm not going to hold you this week. It really kind of depends on what the Wi-Fi in my hotel is looking like in Kansas City. So 50-50 chance. I'm going to try to do that for y'all. For all our Patreon subscribers who are listening, there's no cinema with the guys this week because I'm about to start packing because I have a flight tomorrow. So we'll not be having it today, but we'll be back next week to do a double off. We'll be doing episodes 5 and 6 of Succession. And in summer sessions, we'll be back next week. We didn't record this week, and I'll be on a flight tomorrow, so we won't be recording this week. So we'll be back with both of those next week. Once again, if you're in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, you're looking for a spot to watch the NFL draft this Thursday, come on down with our partners at Haymarket Pub and Brewery in the West Loop. Downtown Chicago area, that is 737 West Randolph Street. Doors open at 5 p.m. It's going to be hosted by the homie J.R. Bain, and there will be a DJ set by the homegirls, the label. You must RSVP for entrance right now. RSVPs are filling up. Shout out to everybody who's RSVP. It's going to be a good time. There's going to be a raffle sponsored by Pillars. So you can come out there. If you win a raffle, you get you a free Pillars shirt from any Pillars location in Chicago. You can RSVP right now at bcnet.com. When you go to the front page, homepage, you'll see the big ass flyer. You click on the flyer, it'll take you to Eventbrite. And also, if you are Open Table, you look on Open Table, you want to reserve a table or anything, the event is on the Open Table for Haymarket Pub and Brewery, man. So I hope y'all come out, have a great time. Y'all got Dante's gonna be there. So y'all want to holler at Dante's gonna be there.
Fuck with me.
Hosting. Everybody, we there. I will be in Kansas City holding it down for Barbershop Network at the draft. So it's going to be a fun couple days, man. So everybody come out and have a good time. We will be back next week to break down, you know, hopefully preparing for the second round of the NBA playoffs next week here on Ball Don't Lie. You want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershop Scott and October Zone Tay. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Visit the bcnet.com right now. We'll holler at y'all next week, man. We out.